question is, what is reward and punishment? Okay. It has to be based upon one thing. What is good and what is not good? Right? What is good for man and what is not good for man? What is good for man will have to necessarily be reward. Right? And what is not good will have to be a punishment. That's what it would seem on the surface. We'll see, it's a little bit... As we go on, we'll see precisely how it sets itself up. Let's take a basic approach. Alright, let's understand. What is the good for man? That's the question. What is the good for man? What is the good for man? How would you... Somebody would ask you... By not answering him, without answering him in specific. In other words, instead of telling him it's something like ice cream or something like that. I mean, what is the good? But in general, what would you tell me? What is the good without pointing to a specific object? Yes. Tell us the pleasure. Would you mind if we use the word happiness? Okay, happiness.
Well, total means my total state.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Okay. And I thank you. What exact? Could you be more specific as to what would bring about that state? Let's say we tell you we know what the greatest pleasure is, right? Would you say the person would automatically be in that state if you know what the greatest pleasure is?
No.
Now, what would be necessary for him to be in that state? I'm convinced. Would you still say that he would immediately be in the greatest pleasure?
No.
What is necessary? So you'd be that's convinced. To be able to carry it out, right?
Yeah.
Ah. Then in other words, in order for a person to be in that state, he would have to be able to carry it out. Let's say you find something which is the greatest, which would give him the greatest happiness. I don't think anyone would deny. This premise has to be laid down before we get started. That whatever it is that's the good for man, it must be something that involves his happiness. Does anybody question that premise? If you question that premise, we have to take it up right now. Love is greatest happiness. The question is pleasure happiness? Okay? That's the question. Oh, I can finish now. I want you to know one thing, that any system that was ever devised for man, you'll notice, was always devised with the ultimate amount, with the ultimate aim for happiness. And even those who would maintain, and there are sheikhs that way, that hold that this world is a world of suffering. But they still say that you suffer over here so that when you come to the next world, you'll get all of my bar, right? Which means really that eventually you're going to get the greatest pleasure and the greatest happiness, right? So you see, any system, that's why don't be fooled by a system if the system maintains that pain is good. Because no system maintains inherently that pain is good. The systems that maintain that pain is good, they say it's a means. The pain is good now, because eventually you'll suffer in this world, and eventually in the next world you'll get your reward back, which certainly is not going to be pain. I mean, right? So therefore, it's going to be pleasure, some type of happiness in the next world. Okay? Eventually, you receive the pleasure. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. How?
I mean, why? Because everybody seems to perceive that there has to be that pain itself. Definitely is not the goal, but the goal must be some type of pleasurable experience. Whether you'll have that pleasurable experience here or there is a separate question.
This is a premise.
You understand what I mean? That the good for man has to be something which is of a pleasurable nature. Okay? And now, yes. Okay. Pleasure synonymous with happiness or not? That's a good question. Is pleasure synonymous with happiness or not? What do you say? It's not the same as happiness. What would you prove? In other words, I ask you to prove it to me. So prove it. How would you prove it? Right? And he has to cut the wound in order to extract the poison. Right? Okay. Now, in the process of cutting the wound, is he in pleasure or in pain? He's in pain. But is he happy or is he unhappy?
He's going to live.
He's happy. He's going to live. Okay, so he's happy to undergo the operation. Right? Okay. Now, if pleasure was synonymous with happiness, you see, then this man would not be happy, he'd be unhappy. Isn't that correct? Right?
No, he's unhappy that he has.
He's saying, let's say, for instance, a person, Rahman al-Flan, has cancer, let's say, right? So if they can operate, they can be saved. And if not, he's finished, right? So now if the doctor would come back with a verdict that they can't operate, would he be happy or unhappy?
The operation's good.
The operation's painful, right? Will he be happy or unhappy? And if they can't operate? He'll be unhappy that he has in front of him. In the reality that he has in front of him, the reality is that the man has cancer, right? Now the question is, there's two types of cancer. One is operable, one is inoperable, right? Now when they come back with the verdict that it's inoperable, will he be happy or will he be unhappy? He definitely will be unhappy. If it's operable, he will be happy. So even though he's going to go through pain, nevertheless the man is going to be very happy. Now if pleasure and happiness are synonymous, this would be indeed a very strange phenomenon.
Yeah, but I was saying about...
Tell you something. When the person, when he goes through the operation, right? You're saying that he's unhappy that he's going through the operation? Or is he happy that he's going through the operation? I mean, how can he be unhappy and happy at the same time? It seems to be a contradiction.
Well, he's
unhappy. Be cut up.
He's unhappy.
What I'm discussing is the happiness that the man has in him. He can either be in a state of happiness or unhappiness. He can't be happy in regard to one thing and unhappy. A person has to be, is happiness a state of mind or not? Is happiness a state of mind? That's what I'm asking you. Is happiness a state of mind?
I don't know.
You don't know, then what is it? Happiness as a different thing. See, you're not using, he's using happiness as a feelings towards certain things. That's not happiness. No, that's not happiness. That's in other words, you're saying, he's using happiness in a different way. The problem is he's using happiness the wrong way. He's using happiness as feelings towards certain things, like preferences. If I prefer it, then you're saying I'm happy about that. If I don't prefer it, I'm not happy about that. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing the state of mind of happiness. Is there a state of mind of happiness or not? And if there isn't a state of mind of happiness, then we forget about everything. Yes. Thing. Well, let's talk about unhappy.
I don't know if you can say that.
What? You're talking about the causes of the unhappiness and the happiness. In other words, let's say, for instance, a person lost his watch and he got $1 million. Would you say he'd be unhappy about the loss of his watch?
Yeah.
He would be. Hey, he's unhappy because he had to pay the dollar for the lottery.
That's right.
How can two opposite states exist in one object? Can a thing be cold and hot at the same time?
No.
Then could a man be happy and unhappy at the same time? Okay.
Yeah.
Happy and unhappy. This never happened and never will. I don't care why. You're telling me why. But the point is, he could never be both happy and unhappy at the same time, just like a glass of water cannot be both hot and cold at the same time. Michael, when he sees the surgeon's knife, he might change his mind and be unhappy. See? That's something else. That's because at that moment the fear has overpowered him, so therefore he's unhappy. But in terms of these moments, in other words, in terms of a specific moment, a specific time, he has to either be happy or unhappy. Right? We have shown that there is a case in which a person could be in pain and be happy. We must conclude that pleasure and happiness are not the same thing. Okay, this pain is still be happy. A person can be cutting his leg. A person can be cutting with a knife and be very happy that the poison is going out, no matter how much pain he has. It's quite possible. Because the reason why the man is happy when they're cutting his leg is because he is thinking about all the pleasure he will be able to get by living. And therefore, pleasure really is the same thing as happiness. But the only thing is that right now, since he knows he's going to live, so his mind is occupied with all the pleasures. His mind is attached to all the pleasures he's going to receive. So that in imagination, he is having pleasure. And that's why he is really happy. And happiness and pleasure are really the same thing. And when you tell a guy that you can cut your leg open now and you'll be able to live, so immediately he thinks of all the pleasures he's going to have. So therefore he has more pleasure than pain, and therefore he really is happy. But happiness is the same thing as pleasure. The only thing is that right now when you told him he's going to live, so he thinks of all the pleasure he's going to have by living. So really, pleasure and happiness are the same thing.
We say that pleasure...
happiness are not synonymous. And we showed an instance of where a person is going through pain, which is the opposite of pleasure, and he's very happy. We seem to show immediately that pain and happiness, since pain is opposite of pleasure, right? So therefore, pleasure and happiness can't be synonymous. Of course, here he's having pain, which is the opposite, and he's happy. Right? But I ask like this, no. Maybe no. Maybe it's like this. Really, happiness and pleasure are synonymous. But when you tell the man that you can cut your leg and you'll be able to live, so immediately his mind reflects on all the pleasures he will have in living. See? And therefore he has more pleasure than pain. And the reason why he's happy is because the pleasure overrides the pain. And he's happy insofar as he has the pleasure. And pleasure and happiness are really the same thing. Proof that it's incomplete is because the person isn't satisfied with the fantasy. He tries to bring out the fantasy into reality. So you see that it really isn't complete in the fantasy. In other words, fantasizing could never give a person, unless he's ill, would not give a person, and when he's ill, the reason why he gets it is because to him it's reality. When a person fantasizes, he is not completely happy, because you see, a person tries to carry out his fantasy. Person who fantasizes about accumulating large amounts of wealth will not be happy with that. He fantasizes about it, but then he goes and does it. Why does he go and do it? Or attempts to do it? Because the to remain in the fantasy form isn't satisfying. So apparently fantasy is not totally satisfying. See? Unless, like I said, unless a person is off his mind. But in that case, to him, the fantasy is a reality. This is not synonymous with pleasure. Yes, Emil, what do you say? He's not really attached to pleasures now. He's just happy he's going to live. See? Which I say that going to live means, what is going to live mean? That you're going to have a lot of pleasures. You know, there was a philosopher. There was a philosopher that maintained that the reason why a person fears death is not that there's really a fear of death, but the reason why he fears death is because he's attached to the physical pleasures. But if a person wasn't attached to the physical pleasures, then he wouldn't fear death. You see? There's a philosopher that maintains that way. The Gemara, it seems to indicate the similar thing, because the Gemara says that that a person that dies in this, when he's happy, it's a good sign for him. If he dies when he's sad, it's a sad state, it's a bad sign. The good sign is because if he dies and if he's attached to the physical pleasures, so that he's going to be sad because he's losing the pleasures. But if a person isn't attached to the physical pleasures, then what does he care if he's dying? See, the only thing there is in life is the physical pleasures. So it shows you the level of a person. So somebody might argue that if a person is happy that he's going to live, it's ipso facto, it means he's thinking of the, it's like one, he's summing up all the physical pleasures in one little bundle and calling it living. See? But he's thinking about all those pleasures he could have. Might argue that point. Yes. Well, what's the refutation? How can you show me that this is wrong? That happiness is not identical with pleasure?
Are you looking for a case or looking for a definition?
Silverstein, what do you say? We were on what is that pleasure is happiness. Right? Okay, that's the premise, right? Remember that. Now, if pleasure is happiness, then what is the opposite of pleasure? Pain. Then pain must be unhappiness. Right? Now, can a person be both, since we mentioned that happiness is a state of mind, can a person be both happy and unhappy at the same time? No. Now the question is this, that since he has pain, right, while he's cutting his leg open, so then if we're going to say that pleasure equals happiness, then pain is unhappiness, right? Pain equals unhappiness, right? Then it turns out that he will be happy and unhappy at the same time, which is impossible. Okay? Pleasure cannot be happiness. All right? What is the difference between pleasure and between happiness? That's a good question. But we're trying to show, before we go into what the difference is, we have to know whether it is different. Because most people confuse the two. And they think that pleasure is happiness. Right? Now, what we had to show is simply that this is a mistake. This is an error. That pleasure is not the same thing as happiness. Because if we follow through with that premise, that is that what you're saying, Silverstein? Right? That's what you're saying, right? Okay. Yeah, learn how. I think that's what I'm saying. Yeah, say it more clearly, you know what I mean? That's important. I'm serious. See, Adam is hooked on some type of vice. Let's say he's hooked on taking dope or taking smoking a cigarette or whatever it is. Something which he doesn't want to do, but he's coerced to do because of a weakness of his character. right? Now, when the person does this action, he might be receiving pleasure, but he might be very unhappy. A person overeats. He overeats, right? He doesn't like to overeat. He wants to be thin, and he's fat, right? So when the person is eating, isn't he attaining pleasure? Right? But is he happy or unhappy about that?
Yeah, well,
he's unhappy.
So therefore, you see,
he can have pleasure and be unhappy at the same time. Right? So obviously, they're two different things. They're two different things. The proof is from the experimental case of the cave. If you're gonna say that pleasure is equal to pleasure, which make them very unhappy later. But at the time they do it, they think they're gonna be happy because they make this mistake in thinking that pleasure is happiness. See? Happiness is anything which is happiness cannot lead to unhappiness.
Right?
Pleasure is happiness. So therefore he thinks unhappiness is the ultimate good. So when he sees a pleasure, he thinks it's the good. You follow what I mean? So therefore if it's the good, he thinks it can't lead to unhappiness. It must lead to something good, right? So he indulges in the pleasure and then later he's unhappy. You see? Why is he unhappy later? He's unhappy because he made a mistake. The mistake was that pleasure is not happiness. Pleasure is a separate thing. Happiness is a different thing. People make mistakes. Many, many mistakes in life because of that. Happiness. He became unhappy by taking on pleasure. You see, if pleasure was happiness, you wouldn't say that happiness, the more happiness a person gets, the more unhappiness is going to get. Right? So therefore, the mistake is because he thinks pleasure is happiness. See? That's why he might be happy for a while, but then he's going to be unhappy. He'll be more unhappy later. Gotten this far, what we've done so far is just to show, to demonstrate by proof what the happiness is synonymous with pleasure. But if we'd stop at this point, we still would not really have full knowledge of the area. We'd walk away with a little confusion, like you think, well, I feel pleasure is happiness, but I know it's not logically, so I'm stuck, like, you know, I wouldn't know whether to follow my emotions or to follow my reasoning. See, where's John? Fourth was all the pleasure and happiness and pain and unhappiness that we will have in our lives. Would you agree? I agree with him. In man, there are different parts to man, isn't that true? There are different parts to a human being, right? But a human being is not just parts, because there is an interrelationship between all these parts, right? In other words, there is a part of the man in which all these parts finally culminate. In other words, all these parts of the individual that he has finally are interrelated in one central area. Okay? One central area. In other words, a person has a hand. The hand is a part. But there still is, an individual is not just made up of parts, unrelated parts, but all the parts, somehow or other, are related in one central zone, okay? Now the thing is like this, when we discuss pleasure and pain, what are we discussing?
The specific.
The parts, see? Pleasure and pain is in regard to the parts. Happiness and unhappiness is in regard to the whole, right? The whole. That central area where all those parts are where all the parts meet. See? Now that we call the mind. The mind. You see, we ask a person, is he happy or unhappy? We mean in terms of all those little parts which give the different messages back, but they eventually come back to one part of him. His psyche, his mind. Let's call it mind. I mean, it's hard to, I don't know, it doesn't matter what you call it, all right? Now, when we say he's happy or unhappy, happy or unhappy refers to that central thing, his essence, that central essence, right? Pleasure and pain doesn't refer to the central essence. Pleasure and pain refers to the parts, you see? That's why a person, you see this before, a person can be in pleasure and pain at the same time. One part of him is in pleasure, one part of him is in pain. One part is in a, one his arm is in a bath, enjoying a hot water bath, and his foot might be,
hot lead.
Right. So it could be pleasure and pain. But happiness and unhappiness, see, the same arm and the same part of the arm can't be in pleasure and pain at the same time. That's an impossibility. Now, happiness is in regard to that one central entity, the essence, that one essence, where everything that happens, that occurs, eventually reflects, eventually reaches that essential area. That's the difference between happiness and between pleasure. Okay? One relates to the particulars, and one relates to the essence. Okay? Is there a relationship between the two, and what specifically is that relationship? Now, yes. Of course, in the mind receives both pleasure and pain at the same time, right?
Not the same time.
Right, of the mind. When you say the mind receives pleasure and the mind receives pain, that's true. But there's different parts of the mind. There's a part of the mind which decides and which says, yes, I'm very happy now. That part of the mind is not the part that's receiving pleasure and pain. The mind is not... The word mind is a bad word to use, but when I say happiness is a state of mind, the word mind in general is used to mean a lot of different things. Mind is used to mean the central nervous system. Mind is used to mean the psyche. Mind is used to mean a lot of things. Although we're referring to the mind is that there is a part of the mind which decides whether a person is happy or unhappy. That part. See, that part of the mind. There is something in there that has to be deciding whether you're happy or whether you're unhappy. Now that thing is not the thing, not the same thing that's experiencing pleasure and pain. It's the thing which is based upon the experience in the other parts of the mind of pleasure and pain. It might decide on the basis of that. You follow? Okay. Part of the mind is one part. And when we're referring to happiness, the person happy or unhappy, we're referring to that part of the mind. See? So there's different parts of the mind, but there must be a part in the mind which decides whether a person is happy or unhappy. See? There must be that part in there. What that part is called, I don't know. I mean, but there is such a thing. We have to know for sure that there is such a thing. Question is, where it is, what is, separate question. But there is such a thing in the human being. Right? Condition, let's say like this, that happiness is when that part of the mind is in a certain condition. Okay? When that part of the mind is in a certain condition, then we say the person is happy. All right? Now the question is, what causes that part of the mind to be in that condition? And is the cause... And is the nature of the cause, does it have anything to do with pleasure and pain? Right? But I can show you, see, even without that, before we get to that, the people who suffer through life and who live a tortured existence with the idea that they will be repaid in the next world, right, are happy, even though they experience pain. Another simple instance, we have pain and happiness simultaneously.
Maybe the fantasy
could say the fantasy over. They can be very happy and not be unhappy. Yeah, that part of it, so that right. So that part of the mind could be in that same condition. Even though he's experiencing tremendous pain, it will not affect that part of the mind. The happiness and that has nothing to do with pain. It has nothing to do with pain in a direct way, that's for sure. Because a person can be going through tremendous pain and be exceedingly happy. So the person can have that part of the mind could be very, very happy. Even though they're living through tremendous pain.
Middle state.
So that, you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
There are parts. One is a condition. Pleasure and pain is a condition in the individual parts. Happiness is a certain condition in that one central part. You see? That one central part, which decides whether the person is happy or unhappy. It's a certain condition in that part of the brain, that part of the mind.
That
is based upon the taking into consideration the sum total of pleasure and pain that the individual will experience. Okay?
So all right? Sum total,
so in other words, if the person feels that he will have a certain tremendous amount of pleasure, right, then he will be in a state of happiness. If he thinks that all he sees is pain, then he will be in a state of unhappiness. So that while happiness is not the same as pleasure, see, but happiness is caused by the reflection on the amount of pleasure or the amount of pain that the individual's life will offer him. Okay? That's the premise. We have to see whether that premise is true or not.
What do you mean by reflection on the amount? If he reflects that it's happy...
He believes that he will have a tremendous amount of pleasure. Right?
Yeah, but he also knows he's going to have more pain. I mean, isn't there a relationship?
No, I'm saying there's a relationship. Pleasure and pain, right? The balance. So if a person believes that he'll have a tremendous amount of pleasure and very little amount of pain, he'll be very happy.
I know it's more.
See? Right. Quantitative amount. At this point, we would seem to have to say, we'd have to say at this point, that happiness is something which is not necessarily dependent upon reality. Correct? Because, what do we have to say? The person thinks. It depends upon what the third person thinks. The person's convinced that he's going to have a tremendous amount of pleasure. And in reality, he's not going to have that pleasure. He will be very happy at the time. And that's really what happens when a person makes a mistake and he chooses the wrong pleasure. Because when he chooses the wrong pleasure, he's very happy at the time, but then later he becomes very unhappy. See? So what happens is that at the time, he thinks he's going to have a tremendous amount of pleasure and he's very happy about it. But then later, when the pain comes and he starts seeing he's going to have a tremendous amount of pain, he becomes very unhappy. So in that case, happiness and unhappiness would really be dependent upon a certain state of the mind which has nothing to do with reality at all. You see, a person could be very happy and not be in reality, and be very unhappy and be in reality, right? Now that would seem to pose somewhat of a problem, because to maintain that a person's happiness is dependent on fantasy would seem to be a bit of a difficult premise, as if knowledge, which is really our gateway to a reality, right, would seem to result in unhappiness, right? And ignorance, which is something which is avoidance of reality, would result in bliss. That would seem to be very paradoxical, right? That would seem to be paradoxical. We finally have tracked down pleasure and happiness, and we've discerned between the two, right? And we've also showed the relationship between pleasure and between happiness, between the two. While the two are not identical, right, there is some relationship between the two. We've come to the conclusion at this point that the relationship between the two would tend to show that knowledge would be something which, in many instances, would be detrimental to happiness, which is the ultimate good of man. In which case, we have to say that the ultimate good of man is not knowledge, which would be very paradoxical. For some people, that wouldn't be paradoxical, because they never imagined the other way, otherwise. What we have to do is, we have to, and a lot of it's paradoxical or not, doesn't really matter. The question is it true or not?
Okay.
What state of the mind, right? Certainly, happiness, question like this, that happiness must be related to certain pleasure. It would seem that happiness is related to a certain pleasure. And yet happiness itself is not pleasure. Right? Because we've shown you can have happiness and pain, right? Okay. Now the question is precisely what is happiness? Right? What precisely is happiness? Interesting question. Pleasure we seem to understand what it is. But happiness, somehow or other, we don't really have a good grip on. Because it's not like a reflex. It's not like a... It's not something which is... What? Yeah, it's not a sensation, right? It's not a sensation. So how would you... Why happiness? We have never found anyone that has set forth a system of happiness which doesn't contain pleasure. Right? Even people who say that it's good to have pain in this world, but they always say, because you'll have pleasure in the next world. So it would seem that pleasure somehow is related to happiness. No one maintains happiness with an endless pain. No one seems to maintain that. Right? You have to have the pleasure there for some reason. You know what I mean? So it would seem, upon examination, at least superficially it would seem, that happiness and pleasure are interrelated. What exactly is the relationship? That's our question. Some total of pleasure and pain?
Yeah.
The sum total of pleasure and pain. Okay, hold on a second.
Sure.
Let's say, for instance, let's say, for instance, an ant has a certain type of pleasure. Now, in his life, he has more pleasure than pain. Would a person be happy if he thought he would have the same pleasure as the ant? You have a balance of pleasure and pain. No, right? Yeah, but my question is, in other words, is it any pleasure? Would a person be happy at the fact, as long as he has a little more pleasure than pain? No matter what the nature of the pleasure, the type of pleasure it is, would he be happy?
No.
Well, it seems nuts, right? So it seems when we say happiness, we have in mind something more specific, right? It's not just the general concept of having more pleasure than pain, right? right? Mm-hmm. More than just pleasure. To have a, what do you call it? It means more than just having more pleasure than pain, right? So the question is, what exactly do we mean by happiness? We have to be a little more precise.
Yeah.
Be happy under certain conditions. Like some people be happy, a guy is would be happy as a professor. But he couldn't be happy as a truck driver. Even if you tell him, look, you'll have more pleasure than pain, right? So it seems that happiness implies also a certain value judgment. You know what I mean? A certain value judgment. It has to be a pleasure which is a worthy one. A worthy pleasure, not just a pleasure. You see? So happiness really involves two concepts. It involves a qualitative and quantitative concept in regard to pleasure. You know what I mean? Yeah. Philosophers coined the term the good. They said the good. Happiness is when a person is satisfied that he has the good. What is the good? Implies also pleasures there too, but not just pleasure. It has to be a pleasure worthy of the standards of the individual. That's what the good is. The good is right. The good is certainly it has to have pleasure, but when he will only be happy if he reflects and realizes that he has the good, which is a pleasure that is worthy of the standards of the individual. Of course, it has to be a pleasure. It's not a pain, right? Now this pleasure which is worthy of the standard of the individual, you see, is what they call the good. Now that's the, you know, in other words, the good is the concept which really they use to is the term rather they use to describe this type of an entity. This entity, you understand what I mean, right? That's what it is. Or when he has the knowledge that he has the good, that's what makes a person happy. Would anybody disagree with that? When a person reflects and he decides, he comes to the conclusion that he has the good, then he must have happiness. There's different goods. There's the truck driver's good, right? That's one kind of a good. And there's the mathematician's good. Each person has his own good. The question is, what is really the good? That's the philosopher's question. What is the good? What is the object of good? But every person seems to have a subjective good, which would seem to make him happy if he thinks he has that good. All right? The good, that thing which he calls the good must have more pleasure than pain. Right? That's what I'm saying. Must be that. I don't know of anyone that ever thought of a good that was pain. In ratio of pleasure to pain, I would say it's something which inherently in its nature is pleasurable. Okay? The result is more pleasure than pain. But inherently in its nature is pleasurable, it must be a certain type of thing. Now we're defining happiness as when a person thinks that he has this thing, then he's happy, right? Okay. If that is the case, then we have one question. The question is, that according to that, the truck driver's happiness is the same as the philosopher's happiness. Right? Because when someone thinks that he has the thing, so then he's happy. Right? Moreover, it would seem if a person was not analytical and he would think that he has that good and he really doesn't have the good, then he would be happy. Whereas a person who, in which case in his ignorance, he would be happy, right? And a person who would have knowledge of the fact that he doesn't have the good would be unhappy. So therefore, knowledge would tend to lead to unhappiness and ignorance would tend to lead to happiness. Right? I say that happiness is a reflection upon the fact that you have the good. But it's still, the fact remains that if the person's life is wrought with pain, so then he's definitely not going to be, you can't call him happy. Right? What? You could, because he thinks he has the good. That's what you want to say? What? That happiness is the good, right? Happiness is the ultimate good, right? We'll get back to you soon. Happiness is the ultimate good, right? Okay. Then, when two people are happy, so then they should be equal, right? And yet, if we're going to say that happiness is also the reflection on the fact that you have the good, right? And one person thinks he has the good, whereas in reality his life really is lit with pain, right? And another person thinks he has the good and he really has a pleasure, right? Now certainly, according to our definition, if we're going to say that reflection is the definition of happiness, so they should both have equally as good a life. But definitely we see that one has a better life than the other, right? So we can't maintain simultaneously, it would seem, that happiness is the good and that happiness is reflection. Right? Because if happiness is the good, so then when two people have the good, so it should be equal. Right? Now, if happiness is reflection, when two people reflect on the fact that they have the good, so then they should be equally happy. But we see, in fact, that one person has a better life than the other. Right? A person thinks that he's having a good life, and in reality he's living like a dog, but that's the best he knows. Another person is more intelligent, and he has a better life. So certainly we would say that the life of one is better than the life of the other, right? In terms of happiness, we'd have to say.
Why?
No? The other. Would one have a better life than the other?
In terms of happiness?
Yeah.
In terms of what?
Life.
In terms of what? How you find a better life?
We're saying that everybody's quest is for happiness, right?
Right.
And that happiness gives a person the best life?
Right.
Give a person the best life. Which person would you choose if you had a choice between the two? The question is that which one has a better life? In reality, which one is the? In other words, in reality, you're going to tell me that they both have the exact same life because they want a better life. Which one would you say? Which one would you say has a better life objectively? One has a life with pain, the other one has a life with no pleasure. Which one would you say has a better life? What? Reflection. Reflection upon whether you have the good or not is happiness, right? So therefore, two people who reflect and count with the same goods, you both have the same happiness in life, right? But it's obvious that one has a better life than the other. Isn't that obvious? Now, insofar as he has a better life, doesn't he have more of the good?
Yeah.
One person thinks he's happy, but he's in pain, right? Another person has a total life of happiness, pleasure. You can't tell me that, based on our definition, it's going to come out that they're both equal. But the truth is that objectively we can see that one has a better life, right?
More pleasure.
So then, and happiness is the ultimate good, right? So we must say one partakes of the ultimate good to a greater degree than the other one, right?
Right.
So obviously happiness is a reflection.
Right.
Who thinks that he has the good when he doesn't have the good, right? So if he deludes himself, he'll be happier, right? But that's based on the fact that happiness is one thing, is reflection on the fact of whether you have the good or not. But we see obviously it can't be, because any definition of happiness is going to have to give us the best life, right? And we're going to say happiness is reflection. And you're going to have to say objectively a guy that has happiness when he really has pleasure and another guy has happiness when he has pain, right? One guy's going to have objectively a better life. It's obvious that way, right? Now, since objectively he's going to have a better life, you're going to have to say he definitely partakes of the good to a greater degree than the other one, right? So, therefore, you can't say that happiness is reflection. He moves the question. The question was that a person who thinks he has happiness, when in fact he doesn't, that the ignorant person will be better off. Now you see, it's not true. You see that that's only based on one definition. The definition of happiness meaning that you think that you're happy. See? Which is a false premise. Because if you're going to tell me that happiness is thinking that you're happy, right? Then you're going to have to say the two people that think that they're happy, they both have as good a life. Because everybody's searching in life for happiness. But we see objectively it's not true. One guy has a better life than the other. Reflection is definitely a part of this happiness. I think everybody would agree about that, right? Okay, but it's not the essence of the happiness. The problems that we ran into was because we assumed that reflection is the essence of the happiness. By the way, most people think that. I want you to know that. Most people do think so. They think, look, what does it make a difference? As long as he thinks he's happy, that's good enough.
Isn't that like
as long as he thinks, he thinks he's happy, fine, that's it, let him be happy doing this. Whether the man is living a tortured existence or not doesn't seem to really bother them, as long as he thinks he's happy. You know what I mean? That's it. That's happiness. Happiness, everybody will tell you, happiness is subjective. Subjective, right? But the fact remains that that same person who maintains happiness is subjective, if we were to tell him, look, there's a person living, who's living in Harlem on a, what do you call it, on $10 a week. He thinks he's happy. Would you like to have that life? You'd like to? I don't think they would jump at the opportunity, right? So, we'll give you the same feeling that he has towards his life. We'll give you that
same
feeling.
Result.
Same result. Would you be happy? Would you want that? I assure you the person would want it. Right? Well, but it's subjective.
He's happy.
I do recognize a certain objective happiness. Because they wouldn't choose anyone's life who thinks that he's happy. but rather they choose different people's lives who they think in reality have happiness. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, they look up to movie stars or to certain prominent individuals who choose those lives, because they'll maintain that that really is a happy life. But they won't choose a low life, and say, well, he thinks he's happy. Because they maintain that there is such a thing as an objective happiness. Right. You know what I mean? Right? Defined by reflection, right? So therefore, we'd have to say that although reflection might be a part of happiness, but reflection definitely cannot be the essence of happiness. And therefore, we remove the question of ignorance. Because if reflection was happiness, so then even if he was ignorant, as long as he reflected, then he would be happy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What do you use to get out of the to remove that question? Because to remove the question of ignorance. Because if we should define happiness as reflection, then the ignorant person would be just as happy as the intelligent one. You couldn't argue. You see, in other areas you could argue. Like, for instance, you couldn't say, but just a moment, if he meant, you see, because what? The reason why I couldn't say that is because here we're defining the essence of happiness. So what do I care? As long as he's happy. You understand what I mean? Okay. The only way out of a ignorant man will be as happy as the intelligent man. Definitely. If you're going to maintain that happiness is reflection, so even if it's a wrong reflection, he will be happy. Now, even though he's away from reality, it's the reflection that's important. So therefore, it would make any difference. Okay. It was pleasure and pain, right? We said that the person decides as to the good life based upon a quantitative factor of pleasure and pain. That's one of the factors, right? And the type is another factor, right? Okay. Now, if he decides, now this makes him happy when he thinks he has more pleasure than pain, right? Okay. Now, therefore, we must say that the reality of pain, if a person should decide that it is better to have more pleasure than pain, then he must believe that the reality of pain is an evil, isn't that true? And the reality of pleasure is a good, right? Okay. You got that? The reality of pain is an evil, and the reality of pleasure must be a good, right? Okay? All right. So then this, now, is this objective, the fact the reality of pain is an evil and the reality of pleasure is a good? There's a fact, isn't it? If a person decides based on that, it must be because it really is so, that there's something there, right? Isn't that true? A person decides as to what the good is based upon the reality of pleasure and pain, and he wants to have more pleasure than pain. It must be because pain must be an evil, right? Right? Okay. Otherwise, then you have to start with somewhere. He's not going to imagine a good that has nothing to do with reality. The good must be based upon a certain reality. Therefore, each person must maintain that pleasure is good and pain is evil, right? The reality of such a thing, right? Okay. Now, therefore, let's say you have two people that imagine that they have the good life, right? But one person has more pain in his life than pleasure. Then you must say the one that has more pain definitely has less of the good than the one that has less pain. Right? Based on the very premises. So therefore, you'll come to a contradiction. The question is, you maintain that as long as he thinks he has happiness, so then he has the good, right? And therefore, if you have two people that think they have happiness, they both have the good equally. Of course, happiness is reflection, right? Yet one guy's happiness has more pleasure, and the other guy's happiness has more pain. And the very premise of the reflection is that pain is evil and pleasure is good, right? So it comes out that they can't both be equal. You understand? Right? A person looks for happiness. Isn't it true that the reflection is that pain is evil and pleasure is good, right? So it comes out that they can't both be equal. You understand? Right? A person looks for happiness. Isn't it true that he's looking for the ultimate, the best possible life? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Right? Now, his premise, when he says that he wants a life that has more pleasure than pain, that's everybody's premise, right? Now, if he wants a life that has more pleasure than pain, isn't it because in reality he perceives that pleasure is good and pain is an evil? Isn't that because he really perceives that way? Right? Okay? Because the reflection has to be based on a reality.
Right?
So therefore, in reality, we must maintain that pleasure is good and pain is evil, right? Now, when he thinks he has this pleasure, then he has happiness, right? Okay? But pleasure and pain, we're not denying the reality of pleasure and pain, that pleasure is good and pain is an evil. We're not denying that reality, are we? Right? We're not denying that. We're saying that the happiness is ultimately when the guy thinks that he has reached the state where he has more, where he has this ultimate pleasure over pain, right? Okay. So therefore, when he reaches that state, that's when he's happy. But the reality still remains that the, that pleasure is a good, and that's why is he happy when he reflects on that? Because in reality, that really is a good, right? So that happiness is good and pleasure is good, right? Now, therefore, when you find one person that thinks he has happiness and he has a lot of pain, another person thinks he has happiness and he has less pain, the one that has happiness and has less pain must have more of the good. Because we said the good involves pleasure and avoidance of pain, right?
Right.
So therefore, you're going to be in a contradiction if you're going to maintain it's just reflection.
That's right.
Because reflection is basically... Now, what we're looking for is the good, right? That which is good. The best life, which is the life which contains the most of that thing which we consider good, right? Okay? And we said happiness is the life which contains most of that thing which we consider good, right? But now when we went into happiness, we said happiness is a reflection upon how much pleasure and pain he has. Now, why do you reflect upon pleasure and pain? Obviously, because you must maintain that more pleasure is good and more pain is evil, right? Right? Okay. And happiness... Happiness is based on that. Right? Happiness is based on the fact that he thinks he has this thing, which is the good. Right? Okay. Now, therefore, when you have two lives, one has this happiness, has this reflection, and has pain, the other one has this reflection and has pleasure, right? We must say, since the good is pleasure, and happiness is also the good, so he who has happiness and pleasure has more of the good than he who has happiness and pain. Right?
Right.
And since what we're searching for in happiness is that which we call the good, so therefore you're going to have to say that he has more of the good. So therefore you can't say that that's happiness. If you want to define happiness as the good, unless you want to define happiness now as a separate thing. But if you want to define happiness as the good, definitely you're going to come to the point where you see that happiness is not the good. Because here you see a case of happiness and pain, and here you see a case of happiness and pleasure. He has more of the good than the other guy. Now, if happiness is synonymous with the good, they both should have the same amount of the good. But you see that one has more of the good than the other, so therefore happiness can't be the good. Okay? But we said that the ultimate good that a person looks for is happiness. Right? We say everybody wants happiness, because that's the ultimate good. And if you can say happiness is reflection, the question is reflection upon what? Reflection upon more pleasure than pain, right? Why? Because we all pleasure is good and pain is not good, right? So therefore we have happiness as the good and happiness is based upon pleasure being the good. Therefore a guy who has happiness plus pleasure has if happiness is reflection, so then it's only one aspect. Right? So it's not the ultimate good, because the happiness, in other words, if the reflection is the good, right? Based upon pleasure, so pleasure must also be the good. So therefore, even at this point, it's two different things. You haven't identified the good. To show you an illustration, a person that has happiness and pleasure will have more of the good than a person that doesn't have happiness and pleasure.
That's right.
Then have a painful life. And since happiness is the ultimate good, so if we define happiness as reflection, mere reflection, so then it's going to come out that somebody will have a better life than the life of happiness, which is impossible, because the life of happiness is supposed to give us the best life. You understand? Last week was that you cannot say happiness is the mere reflection on the fact that I have the good. Because if you're going to say that, you're going to have a contradiction. Why? If you say that happiness is a reflection on the fact that I have the good, then we are going to have to say that a person who reflects that he has the good and really has a life of pain, right, will have just as much happiness as a person who reflects that he has the good and has a life of pleasure. But everybody would agree that the one who has the life of pleasure plus the fact that he reflects that he has upon the fact that he has the good will have a better life, right? In which case, a person who will have happiness, you see, which is the first person who reflects upon the fact that he has the good but doesn't have the good, it'll come out that there will be another person who has a better life than the person that has happiness. But our definition of happiness is the ultimate good. In other words, the ultimately best life. That's what happiness is. So therefore, it's impossible if we to find that there is an individual who has a better life than the one that has happiness. That's impossible. Right? I say, well, as long as he thinks he's happy, then he's happy. What? And is in pain. If his life should change, in where he thinks he has happiness but he has pleasure, you say you would certainly say that he has a better life than he had before, in which case he'd have a better life than the happy life, which is impossible. So obviously it's not true that whatever, if a person deludes himself and deceives himself into thinking that he has a happy life, that is happiness. That definitely cannot be happiness. That can't be the definition of happiness. Yes? Why do you pray with pleasure? Right? We prove that happiness and pleasure are not synonymous. What pleasure? Then, as we said, it's not pleasure, right? Nor is it reflection upon whether a person has the ultimate pleasure. We did say, though, it is related to pleasure in some way, because we mentioned that there is no one that would conceive of happiness without the element of pleasure involved. Some type of pleasure. No one would conceive of happiness without some type of pleasure involved. Am I right? So that is pleasure, yet it is certainly not pleasure, nor is it a reflection upon the fact that the person has the pleasure. Or will have pleasure. Narration. That happiness, when we say pleasure, we must distinguish between physical pleasure and psychological pleasure. You see? We've only mentioned really physical pleasure. Actually, we should deal with psychological pleasure. Because psychological pleasure, is a much more potent force in man than physical pleasures. Like one philosopher one time said, he said that all the evils in the world that have been done have not really been done because of physical desire, but because of psychological desire. Physical desires have a certain range. I mean, how much can a person physically enjoy themselves? A certain minimal range. But psychological pleasures are almost infinite, because there's no end to it. You know, he wants to be greater than this one, greater than that one, take over the whole world, and there's no end to it. To satisfy his little psyche, he might take an awful lot. So he can encompass the entire globe. So therefore, it would seem that in man, the psychological pleasures are are really the most overpowering. See, the ones that they're concerned with, the ones that drive him the most. What?
You already dealt with that one.
Pleasures. We must say about the psychological pleasures as well, because a person could be psychologically distraught and yet happy. For instance, a person goes into business and he's under tremendous tension. Certainly wouldn't call that psychological pleasure, but yet he's very happy that he's doing this because he feels that he's achieving happiness this way. So that the same argument that we presented in favor of the fact that physical pleasure is not happiness, neither is psychological pleasure happiness. Because we see a person can be psychologically in pain and yet be quite happy. All right? Person can undergo tremendous. Most people undergo a tremendous amount of tension in their lives, but they do it because they feel that they feel very happy about this.
They feel the time
that they're undergoing the tension. In other words, they might be undergoing psychological tension, just like the person who's undergoing a physical pain. The same way, they'll be happy that they're doing this, even though they're undergoing a tremendous psychological strain. That on the one hand we've shown that happiness is not pleasure, right? Then we say, right? On the other hand, we've come to the conclusion that happiness is not reflection. And yet in our illustration we say the man is happy because he's having the operation, right? Now he's in pain. Since happiness is neither reflection nor happiness, and certainly he doesn't have pleasure, so how can we even refer to him as being happy? How can we even say that the man is happy that he's undergoing an operation? I mean, it's an impossibility. It would seem like we've shown that our case is crazy. Is crazy. You know what I mean? Maybe we'd have to say that he partakes of happiness in some way. He partakes of happiness in some way. And yet we've shown that happiness itself can never be the reflection itself. Okay? But reflection is a part of happiness, but not the complete picture. Reflection is apparently a part of happiness, but not the complete picture. That's what we have to say. Yeah. That point is like this, that even though, as I said, happiness is elusive, but nevertheless we find an interesting thing among people, that people, we're speaking about deceiving oneself into thinking that they're happy. And for some reason or other, it seems that man must always think he's happy. Isn't that? It's an unbelievable thing. For some unknown reason, you see, the man must maintain that he's happy. He has a desire to believe that he's happy. That's why we find people in the oddest situations who consider themselves happy. See? There's tremendous stuff. And when a person recognizes that he's not happy, he's in trouble. And if he really thinks that it's hopeless that he will never be happy, he usually is on the verge of suicide.
Yeah, I'm talking about a particular situation.
Usually he's suicidal already. So, no, I'm talking in general.
In general.
In general, why a person, it would seem, has the need to believe that he's happy.
Correct.
Whether he really has his happiness or not, doesn't seem to matter. He'll smooth it out and he'll work it out. But there's a tremendous need inside a person, for some reason, some unknown reason. It'd be interesting
probably,
to track down the reason.
Yeah, well,
for some unknown reason, there's a need to believe that he's happy, even though he may be, in fact, unhappy, quite unhappy. All right? And it's another interesting phenomenon. Besides this one, there's another interesting phenomenon. That this, apparently, what Mendy is saying is correct, that this is a part of a person's mind which makes a decision as to whether his life is worthwhile or not worthwhile. See, and in order to go on, in order to have the green light, he has to believe that it's worthwhile. Right? And that part would seem to have to do with deciding whether he's happy or not. Now, if he decides that he's unhappy, he can't go ahead. There's no purpose in life. He can't go ahead. Now, it seems, therefore, that all the instincts in man which push for existence, because man, like an animal, has instinct of survival, so these instincts would always be in favor of deceiving the mind and causing the person to think that he is happy when, in fact, he isn't happy. Because by this deception, he can go ahead. But the moment in man, see, this doesn't exist in the animal kingdom. Animal world, there's no such thing as an animal deciding one day that, hey, I don't like to catch nuts every day. You know, I've had enough of this stuff. This isn't a worthwhile existence. You know? They don't have such phenomena. They'll keep on going from day to day. But man is the only animal that has that ability to reflect on his entire being and to decide whether or not this existence is worthwhile or not. So that happiness would seem to be tied in with that part of man which decides whether my existence is worthwhile. Should I exist or should I not exist? Is it worthwhile to go on? Now, if he decides in favor of going on, then he has to maintain that he has some type of happiness. So he has to maintain that he has some type of good, some type of thing he identifies as the good life. But the moment that he feels that he doesn't have anything good at all, that's when he becomes suicidal. In many instances, by the way, what happens is a person deceives himself into thinking that he's happy. Suddenly they read in the papers, somebody committed suicide. Wow, how did they do that? So the reason was because they were deceiving themselves all along, you see, but really they weren't happy. There was a tremendous amount of pain going on underneath the surface, which they kept on pushing out of the awareness, their own mental awareness. They kept on suppressing it. Then it reached a point where they just could not avoid it any longer, and they came openly, face to face with the realization that they're really in a state of tremendous, the way that they're living now really isn't worth it, and they're in a state of tremendous unhappiness. That's when you find that suddenly the person might spontaneously commit suicide. It appears spontaneous, but it isn't spontaneous, because in reality all these things were building up along the line. The person wasn't aware of it. So it would seem also, another thing would seem, that it's very important not to deceive oneself. Because if you do deceive yourself, you see, and reality is, you can't change reality, and there are certain conflicts that a person is going through, and he starts pushing them down, he starts thinking he's not, there's a great chance that when these things rise to the surface, the person might not be able to fool himself anymore. And this need for deception and to think that the happiness might be broken because of the magnitude of the reality of his pain, you see? Or of his worth, I'm using pain, I don't mean exactly pain, but the magnitude of reality of his the worthlessness of his type of existence. And once the worthlessness of his type of existence reaches his mind, you see, and he can't deceive himself any longer, then he's subject to total self-destruction. Right? I would say that there are cases where people go on throughout their lives that way. See? But there are cases, certainly. Never know, that's right, never knowing that. I guess if it's mild, a person can fool them. Probably it's like everything else, is a range within which a person can fool himself. You know what I mean? But there's a certain range there. Now, within that range, he can get away with it. But then if it gets too large, then it would appear that he couldn't do it anymore. You know, and then he's totally ruined, goes into depression. Depression really is when a person can't, he loses that drive to go on. There's no, he cannot express any psychological energy in the future because there's no reason to go on anymore. And that's when he goes into a state of depression. In regard, another phenomenon regard to happiness is this, that since we've established it, there's a part of the mind like that. There is such a part of the mind, you know, which makes this decision. This is another interesting thing about the part of the mind, that this part of the mind seems to have tremendous power over the organism. Tremendous power over the organism. Because we see that people have gone through a tremendous amount of pain, you see, in the belief that they are really happy and that the ultimate happiness is doing what they were doing. So sometimes when you read about these cases in history, you can't believe that people could do such a thing. And sometimes we think, how is it possible to do such a thing? The answer is, it is possible if the person has that total conviction that this is their happiness. So that this part of the mind, which we mentioned exists in man, which is subject to deception, right, nevertheless exerts a tremendous force on human life. Because it can make a person do almost anything, the most unbelievable thing, live through the most difficult situations, the most painful existence. Nevertheless, a person can go on as long as that part of the mind keeps telling him that he's happy or that the happiness is here. So that there's two interesting phenomena about happiness. One is that it's subject to deception, personal subject to deception, and two, that the part of the mind that deals with this seems to have tremendous influence on the organism, on the individual.
People's lives are shaped for that thing.
They can go through almost anything. As long as they have that in their side, they can go through anything. Have a definition of happiness. Okay, the point of reflection. We say a person reflects and thinks to himself that he is happy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, isn't it true that the moment we say that a person thinks that he is happy, that happiness must be something other than the thinking? I think that I am happy if the thinking itself is happiness, right? So happiness must be something other than the thinking, right?
Right.
Okay. But we said, right, other than the... Because to reflect, he is happy, right?
And he really is.
Excuse me?
Let's say
really
that's
the best
thing
to make that person down.
We're dealing with two types. There's a reflection where a person reflects that he is happy, you see? And there's a reflection which the reflection itself is happiness. You know what I mean? In other words, like the man going for the operation. The man going for the operation is very happy. He feels happy, right? But he's not reflecting on the fact that he is happy. That's the second thing. There's two things. There's a feeling, a person can have a feeling of happiness, can reflect on a situation and have a feeling of happiness, right? Experience happiness. Then a person can reflect on the fact that he is happy. Do you know what I mean? That's a secondary step. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, but
if we want to place it, we'll be between actual pleasure and between reflection upon the fact that he's happy. Because reflection upon the fact that he's happy can't be happiness.
Yeah.
If I reflect that I'm happy, it must mean that I'm reflecting on another state. Right?
Right?
And so in other words, there seems to be three steps. There seems to be the pleasure and pain, lower level. Then there seems to be a certain reflection which causes him happiness, right? Which is a higher level, apparently, because he can be happy even though he has pleasure or pain, be it psychological or physical. And then there's another reflection, which is a reflection on whether he is happy too, right? Now, the odd thing over here, I don't mind that there's three things, but the odd thing over here is, which I mentioned before, that when he reflects that he's happy, it would seem to cause him to be happy too. Which, right? It would seem to cause his happiness. So that happiness seems to get involved in the last thing, which has nothing seemingly to do with happiness. I reflect that I'm happy, and he's happy about that reflection, right? That reflection itself is happy.
It seems to be happiness.
No, right? Now, if that reflection is happiness, then I have to reflect on that too. Then it'll come out of a person to reflect infinitely. I reflect that I'm happy, and I reflect that I reflected on that, and I reflect that I reflected on that.
Right.
I keep on going reflecting. I'm reflecting on infinitum. Happiness is a different level than pleasure, right?
Yeah, but
reflecting on.
Right.
And this very reflection is happiness. That means I can reflect on it. The reflection reflects on itself. You can't. You know what I mean? Thinking when he's thinking. It's impossible. You can think, and then later you can think that you thought, but you can't think that you're thinking at the same time that you're thinking. Does that make sense? Well, to ultimately reflect on his total happiness. Because the moment he reflects...
He's reflecting.
What? That's right. Okay? Which is not happiness. Which we say is happiness. But yet not exclusively happiness, we've shown, right?
That's right.
Okay. In the hospital, he's happy that he's undergoing an operation, right? You know, it's painful, he's happy he's undergoing. He means getting his splinter removed, he's very happy. Right? Okay. Then it would seem that the... then there would be another thing, a reflection upon whether you're happy or not. Third state, right?
What is
happy, right? Reflection upon happiness would seem to be an impossibility, really. Because you can never reflect on happiness because you can't reflect on the fact that you're reflecting, right? Which shouldn't be happiness, right? Because it's reflecting on something else. Nevertheless, itself is happiness.
I don't see why it can't be happiness.
Because it is. What the fact does say that reflection and happiness are two different things? Because I'm reflecting that I am happy, which means happiness is something else.
Right.
And yet, right? So therefore, by your reflection, you define happiness as not being reflection, right? The moment you say, I reflect it, I'm happy. Now, your definition must be that happiness is something other than this reflection, because reflection goes on something else, right? Okay. Now, but it would seem odd that the reflection itself seems to be happiness. Which is in contradiction to the definition which is given by the reflection itself.
Can it be pleasurable?
It's what? Right. Right?
It's not pleasure.
Not pleasure.
Well, no, pleasure plays a part.
So it somehow or other plays a role.
Yeah.
Right? Pleasure's involved. Then we mentioned reflection. Right?
Well, reflection is also...
Which reflection do we say, when we speak about which reflection?
The second step.
The second step. Right? A reflection of happiness when the person is not really happy. Right? A reflection of happiness with a person when the person is not really happy is, which means that what? That the person reflects, in other words, the person thinks that he is happy when he isn't happy, right? Okay. So then certainly, that reflection certainly cannot be happiness, right? Okay. That can't be happiness from the fact that the two lives, right? Comparison of the two lives. Right? But then now we say further, you can prove it from itself. Because reflecting that he is happy shows that reflection is not happiness. Happiness, right?
Right.
And yet, it turns out that this reflection also would appear to be, would seem to be, part of happiness.
Right.
Right? An important part of happiness. A person reflects that he's happy. That makes a person extremely happy. I mean, we can't deny that. That seems a very important thing.
Reality.
Then we mentioned also that that part of the mind seems to be prone to deception. Whether the person is happy or not seems to be prone to deception, right? We also mentioned this part of the mind which reflects seems to be prone to deception, right? And secondly, we mentioned that it seems to exert a tremendous amount of power over the organism, on his whole life. Because a person will be able to do almost anything as long as that part of the mind is in control and is satisfied to maintain that he is happy. All right, that's what we know about happiness, right? Those things. What it is, we still don't know. We've been caught with a contradiction, right? Okay. I can do whatever I want. One person thinks that he's happy, another person thinks that he's happy, but he really, not only does he think he's happy, but he really is, has an enjoyable existence. Certainly we prefer that life to the other life, right? Which shows that that life is superior. But if happiness is the ultimate, there shouldn't be any difference because they both have the ultimate, right? On the other hand, this last one, we went through the case in the where a person is ill and he's happy. He finds out the news that he heard that he has a cancerous growth, and he finds out the news that he could be operated on and be saved. He's very happy, even though he's going to go through the pain of an operation. So you see that reflection about his state is really would seem to be the essence of where happiness is, right? Okay, and on the other hand, we've shown over here the reflection isn't. I mean, this is a total contradiction. Reflects that he is happy, then that means, inherently, that means that happiness must be something else than the reflection. Right? Because he certainly isn't reflecting on the reflection. Right? Okay. Well, it seems, try to deceive themselves into thinking that they are happy. And we oftentimes find people who consider themselves happy, and then all of a sudden life explodes in their face. And you find that they do something drastic, like attempt to kill oneself or something, suicide, so that it would seem that most people, yes, are they happy? Yes. They have to think that they're happy for some reason, even though in fact they may be very unhappy. But a person will always try to cover this up. Somehow or other, a person will always try to cover this up and to maintain that he is happy, even though in fact he may not be. Right? Once we said that happiness is the is that life which is the ultimate existence for man, right? Must be. I mean, there must, those two must be, there must be an equation between those two. They must be equated, right? Happiness and the ultimate existence. No way that you could say that those two aren't exactly synonymous, right? Okay? The fact that you have two equalities, right, in front of you would be a very beneficial formula to work with, because you could look at one and know the other. Right? Right? What is? Without even questioning what it is. Right? That's also an unusual thing, that people assume immediately that they know what it is without questioning what it is. For some reason, people always assume they know what it is. Other questions about it. A person's going to buy a car, a question as to whether it's a good car, a bad car, whether he should buy it, he shouldn't buy it, whether he needs it, he doesn't need it, that whole question. But the question whether what happiness is, simple point out, people will always assume that they know what it is, and they'll go on through life that way, right? Take. In other words, like this. If we are going to track down happiness, again, going back to the two qualities that we have, right? So we said that happiness is the ultimate life, right? Now, the ultimate life depends on the nature of the existence. In other words, you have an ultimate life for a flower, an ultimate life for a chimpanzee, right? You have an ultimate life for a lion, and you have an ultimate life for a man. Now, the ultimate life of all these, the common denominator of the ultimate life for all these existences would be based upon the needs of the specific existences. So therefore, we would have to say that happiness must be that which satisfies to the greatest degree, right, the all the components, and satisfy all the components involved, all the things that are necessary, but more generally, all the things that are necessary for the proper existence of that particular thing. Correct? When you take a look at a flower, you want to know what is the happiness for a flower. So you'd have to say, well, it must have all the things which it needs. Correct? Because since that is the ultimate life for the ultimate type of existence for that flower, right? Okay, second question, whether you can say the flower is happy. But anyways, the ultimate life for man is, there is an ultimate life for man. In order to know what happiness is, we'd have to know what exactly constitutes the ultimate life of man, and what is necessary in order for man to have that which is which would be an ultimate type of existence for him, right? Okay, but happiness, therefore, in order to track down happiness, we have to go to the other side of the equation, right, and to look at the other equality, namely that it is the ultimate. Okay, what it is. So we come into a somewhat of a dilemma. Why?
There are two
different things that man needs. A man is a physical being, so he has to have physical well-being. Correct? Man is a an intellectual being, so you must have intellectuality. Right? All right. Man is a psychological being, so you must have psychological happiness. And you can't have a person, no one would maintain that you could be happy. Nobody would maintain that you could be happy if psychologically a person's ill. Wouldn't you say? You can't maintain a person who's in an insane asylum is happy, right? Obviously he's unhappy. Why? Because there's something wrong with his psyche. All right. Now the question is like this. The question that we have to set up is as follows. It would seem that way. It would seem that a common opinion would be that a person cannot be psychologically ill and be happy. Yet, interestingly enough, a person could be physically ill and be happy. Interesting, huh? Maintain that happiness is a satisfaction of the parts of an individual, right? So then it would seem very strange. So we could buy that formula. Satisfy the parts and a person's happy. In other words, a person in the positive, it definitely works out. A person who is physically, has physical well-being, psychological well-being, and who satisfies his intellectual part, satisfies every part of the individual, will definitely, we would say, is a man that is, has the ultimate existence and is happy. Right? Okay. So in other words, we found the case. We definitely can't say that that definition would hold true. In other words, a person who has well-being in every area, correct? In every area of a person who is well in every area of his being, definitely we would say that person is happy. Right? Okay. Let's stop arguing. So then he who has well-being in all his parts will have a happy existence. Correct? Satisfying, have a satisfying existence. All right? Is happiness. Right? The question was that if reflection is happiness, so then you have to reflect on something. Right? And since you have to reflect on something, so that would seem to show that reflection isn't happiness, because reflection can't reflect on reflection itself. Right? In other words, like this. We said if reflection is happiness, so when a person reflects, he has to reflect on something. He reflects that he is happy. That means he's reflecting on something else. He's not reflecting on the fact that he's reflecting. You know what I mean? So therefore, happiness must be something other than reflection. Correct? Good. The reflection must be, therefore that shows you clearly that happiness is not the reflection itself. Because the reflection has to be that he is happy, but happiness must be something other than the reflection itself, right?
Okay.
Of something. Now what he's reflecting on, right? And yet we said that reflection itself would seem to make the person happy. When a person reflects that he's happy, that itself makes him happy. Right? Which it seems to be a contradiction. Because he reflects on he reflects that he is happy and now he's even happier, right? These two questions I think could be answered by the formula we give now. Because the formula that we're giving now, and the formula we're giving now was saying that really happiness is when the organism lives to the best of its ability, to the ultimate of its ability, right? Okay. So therefore a person can reflect that he is happy because he's reflecting on some part of the organism. You see, let's say, for instance, he feels that he's very happy now because he has a sense of psychological well-being, right? Person says, I'm very happy now. He has that feeling. A lot of times people have that feeling. I'm really happy now, I have a sense of psychological well-being. Now, what he is saying is that his psyche is in line with this, has reached this level, right, where he feels this tremendous well-being. So therefore he feels, he's saying that this good has come about in his psyche, right? Okay, so therefore we must say that's why he feels he's happy, right? Now the question is, however, that the reflection itself makes him happy. That's no contradiction. Why? Because since reflecting is also a part of a person's nature, part of human nature is to reflect on whether he's happy or not. And since that part is satisfied, so therefore it will serve to make him more happy. Correct? Certainly it will make him more happy. Why will it make him more happy? Because another part of him is in line, has reached this, is being fulfilled. Right. We must say, okay, right? Okay. Reflection, because reflection is part of the nature of man. So, in other words, that's why it serves to make him, that's why he could reflect that he is happy.
No,
it's possible to. Right. That's why it's not reflecting on itself. It's not reflecting on itself, and it makes him more happy, and yet it's not a contradiction. It's not reflecting on itself because it's reflecting upon his psyche. Right? And yet it makes him more happy because that itself is a part of the psyche. Right. Okay. All right. On this premise, and this would seem to be the avenue we have to take in order to get out of this dilemma. I mean, there might be a lot of difficulties along the road, but I think that it's clear that this is the only approach we can take. All right. Let me ask you one question. I want you to answer this question. We mentioned before that happiness is the ultimate existence, right? Now, there's an ultimate existence for man, and we said there's an ultimate existence for a flower, there's an ultimate existence for a monkey, for a lion, right? Okay. Now, would you say that a lion or a monkey is happy? And if you would say that they are happy, would you say that a flower is happy? Obviously, when you come to a flower, you would say no, right? So wouldn't that tend to disprove that our basic premise that happiness is the ultimate existence?
Did you see
him? Huh? Flower has the ultimate existence, and yet it's not happy. If happiness is the ultimate existence, right? So then why, then how could you possibly say that a flower is not happy, it has the ultimate existence?
Well,
what is? The answer is exactly that way. That the that when we, in other words, there is an ultimate among existences, but the ultimate for man is happiness. See, the ultimate for a flower is not happiness. The ultimate for a flower is a certain type of existence. The flower is, right, well, the flower is fung, is living in accordance with the best possible circumstances and situations. It's a healthy flower, healthy flower. Health, health, health would be the ultimate for a flower. It's a healthy flower. Now, for a honey, one would have to, for a monkey, for a monkey, we have to leave that for a moment, see whether it really is so. But for man, there is no doubt, nobody doubts, that the ultimate existence for man is happiness. I don't think anybody would doubt that. So that man has a different ultimate. You see, man has a different ultimate than an animal or a flower. Correct? I would tend to doubt whether you could say that, that an animal is really happy. And I'd say that he has, an animal has well-being. Contentment. That's good. Contentment would be good. But not happiness. Wouldn't see, say that monkey looks very happy. See the monkey's happy. In other words, we're saying you can't give him the attribute of happiness. Now you're using the word sad. If you want to use the word sad to mean the opposite of happiness, then you can't use that word, I'd say. I would say you can't use that word. You can't use the real word. You can't mean sad that way. You say it's a state similar to man's sadness, in which the animals are discontented. You have to use content and discontented. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Discontented? What does discontented mean? Without reflection, that you couldn't really say that something is happy. That's why you wouldn't say an animal is happy. You say an animal is content. This is no, the element of reflection is gone. Right? Okay. If that's the case, then you, wouldn't that bring back the contradiction? Well, they don't know. Well, I don't know. What do you say?
No, we have one part of the conversation.
Yeah, that's
all.
Which
part? Well,
he reflects that he's happy. Because he can't be happy without reflection. He doesn't have to reflect on himself. You understand what I mean?
Man has to have the well-being, all those processes.
You can't say, you cannot say reflection. If you say reflection, you're going to get into the same dilemma again. In other words, if you say the reason why a man can be happy is because he can reflect, and an animal cannot be happy, you wouldn't call an animal, you just want to say it that way, because an animal can't reflect, then you can have the same problem again. Because why is man happy? Because he reflects. But how does he reflect that he's happy? It's impossible. Because then he's, you understand what I mean?
Well,
so therefore, we have to say that happiness is not relegated to reflection, per se. Happiness is relegated to the psyche, the well-being of the psyche. That's what it is. And in an animal, you wouldn't say that, because an animal doesn't, the essence of the animal is not the psyche, even though it does have something. All right, let's see, we're going to have to clear up that point. Let's take the last question. I think we take the last question and get rid of all the questions. What was the last question again?
Contradiction.
What's contradiction? Is that
fine. Now that we explain.
The question was asked about the, that we said that the happiness pertains to the essence of man, and we seem to perceive that the essence of man is not the physical, because we seem to say that a person can be happy even though physically he's laid up. So we seem to understand that the main part of man is the, mental. Right? Okay. So Harry asked the question, he said, what about an athlete? An athlete cannot be happy, if he's, physically ill. So therefore that would tend to show that the happiness is physical well-being. So he said, no, really it is true that the athlete cannot be happy if he's physically ill. But that's not because the happiness lies in his physical being. The happiness lies in his mental framework, just like the scholar. But the only thing is that his happiness is totally dependent upon his physical state. So that's why his mental can never be happy unless he has the physical. Right? Okay. So that's the contradiction. Question. Let's try to answer the contradiction, the big contradiction that we had. Big contradiction was that if you're going to say that happiness is what? Is that happiness is the let's say for instance happiness is a reflection, right? So then we said
then
how could the rich man be happier than the poor man, because happiness is the ultimate, right? And certainly we would choose a life of a person, let's say for instance a person would be able to be happy and have wealth, be happy and be poor. Which life would you choose? Life where you'd be happy and have wealth. So there seems to be an ultimate beyond the ultimate. The answer is that that's no question. I said, why is that no question? Because when we say happiness, we mean happiness insofar as that mental state is concerned. Everything else is only a means to create the mental state. Now, the reason why we would choose the life of wealth is not because wealth, per se, has a value, but because we would guess that if a person has wealth and he doesn't, and he's not troubled with the problems of money, you see, that he would have this state to a greater degree or more often than if he doesn't have it. Right? So really it's the essence of the state that we're after. There is no ultimate beyond happiness. Happiness is definitely the ultimate. But these, all these other things which a person has are only kiyumim, so to speak, fulfillments in this ultimate state, which pertains to the essence of man, which pertains to his essence. In other words, happiness is, pertains to the essence, and everything else that is a good is only a good insofar as it creates this essence, as it affects this essence. So therefore, the reason why if you would tell a person, look, my friend, you have two lives for you to choose, the happy life which with poverty and a happy life with wealth. And then if you would qualify, you would say, but you will not be any happier with the wealth than with the poverty, then the person would be a fool to choose the one over the other, because it would be exactly equal. But the reason why the person chooses the wealth is only because he feels that his essence will be affected if he doesn't have the wealth, insofar as it will not be as happy, the same degree, or the same amount of frequency. Right? But beyond the ultimate. Really, happiness is the ultimate. But the only reason why he chooses the life of wealth is because he feels that he will have a better chance, he will be able to be more happy. The essence will affect his essence to a greater degree. But, and this is important. However, if we should say like this, let's say, for instance, I will show a person, I'll say, look, you have a life of wealth, right? And another person will be poor. But the person who has the life of wealth will have a psychological disturbance. And the person who is poor will not have a psychological disturbance. Then what would you say? Which life will the person choose? There's no question about it. Because he knows that he will be happier in that situation, right? Because since his essence is psychological, right? Since his essence is psychological, so therefore you will say that what? That he will have a better life there, right?
Yep.
Okay. So therefore, everything in happiness is when the essence of man is functioning to the greatest degree. The essence of man is functioning to the greatest degree. Okay? All right. What we say as follows, that happiness is an internal experience which is related to the person's essence. Right? We can't say anymore, we can't speak of the parts being in good shape, right? We'll speak of the essence, right? Okay. Now the question is like this. Since that is a question, if we want to pursue it further, then we have to find out what the essence of man is. And that essence, when it has well-being, that will be the happiness, right? Okay. Now we've shown that I don't think anybody believes that the essence of man is the physical, right? Because a lot of a person's happy if he's not physically well, right? Okay. Now the next question is the essence of man the psychological? That would seem to be obsessed with the psyche. That was intellect play.
Wait, how'd you
make
that
right?
The psyche?
What do you say? What do you this question? Right? Because what we said was, if that is the case, we said, then the person, we would know, would say that a person who was in an insane asylum would be happy. Right? Wouldn't say he has happiness. Because you say psychologically he's broken down. Correct? Okay. Excuse me? This must be well-being, and well-being not insofar as individual parts, but well-being insofar as the essence is concerned. That would seem to be happiness. And everything else, any additional well-being that you have cannot be added to happiness, but can only serve as a means insofar as the well-being of the essence is concerned. Now, if we want to pursue our search any further, then we would have to go into the area of what exactly is the essence.